Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Always good talking with you and the people who have taken the time to listen to this podcast. I'm Tom Thibodeau from Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin, where I'm the Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership, and enjoy these conversations talking about things that matter each and every day in our lives. Robert Fulghum writes this, "From beginning to end, the rituals of our lives shape each hour, each day and year. Everyone leads a ritualized life. Rituals are repeated patterns of meaningful acts. If you are mindful of your actions, you will see patterns. If you see patterns, you will understand them. If you understand them, you will enrich them. In this way, the habits of a lifetime become sacred, is this soul." Our lives are punctuated by four things that hold us together. One, each and every day, we understand the role that we play. What is it that I have to do? Who is it that I'm responsible for? What is my role? Sometimes I'm the leader. Sometimes I'm the follower. Sometimes I'm the parent. Sometimes I find myself as someone else's child. Sometimes I'm the teacher, and other times I'm the learner. And you begin to recognize that the roles in our lives give us a clear understanding of what it is that we need to do. Another thing that's important in our lives, that shape our lives, are rules. We all live within parameters. Rules give us structure that we need. If there's chaos, you cannot come together. How important it is that we all stand on our side of the road, on the white line, or don't pass on the yellow. How important it is that we do have things like speed limits and other things that hold us in check, that we all know that the rules that we play by, the taxes that we pay and the things that we buy. These are rules that everyone participates in. If we don't pay our taxes, then our neighbor starts saying, well, why should I pay mine? But these are rules that we all agree to living in a democracy. But routines are also very important in our lives. The things that I can get up to and look forward to. I would imagine that most of us that I'm talking to today get up pretty much at the same time each and every day, and in many cases have been doing this for years. We pretty much know what is expected, when we're going to take our coffee, when we're going to take our break. We pretty much know in terms of the routines of our lives the time of the year that we take our vacations. We pretty much know in terms of the times in which we need to even work harder, where the amount of time and effort that's demanded of us is going to increase. So the routines of our lives are very important because they give us a structure. What's difficult for many people in retirement, or what they lose their job, is that they lose the routine of the workplace. What is it that I do now? The importance of routine gives a structure and a sense of psychological safety. But what's really important in our lives are the rituals, so that one day isn't just like the other, that we have things to look forward to, a ritual celebration. So you think for a moment in terms of growing up and the importance of Sunday dinner. You look in terms of the rituals that come around family birthdays and anniversaries, around the holidays in our lives. So if you ask somebody, well, how do you celebrate birthdays? Well, we really don't. You have one every year. How do you celebrate your anniversaries? Well, it's no really big deal. You know, if you're married 30 or 35 years, who cares? If you ask people, how do you celebrate Thanksgiving? Well, we really don't. It's a lot of work in any way. It interferes with deer hunting. And I would say, well, how about Christmas? Well, it's just a hassle to get everybody together. We just send out gift cards. If people respond that way, you'd say, well, what kind of family life do they have? Well, it's the same thing in every organization, the same thing in every level of community. How is it that you take time to celebrate? What are the ritual activities that bring people together and recognize that in these moments are significant moments that need to be recognized and paid attention to? And so we pay attention to the importance of births, but the importance of death. We pay attention to marriages, when people make a connection in your organization. How do you recognize people when they retire and move on? If you have a company, how is it that you're welcoming people in? What's the ritual that takes place during orientation that says to the new member, you belong here, we're so happy that you've joined us? Rituals And all leaders need to be ritual leaders. If you look back in terms of studying of cultures, and this is what archaeologists and anthropologists do, they go back and study ancient cultures. We've all seen articles on this. What are the three things that they look for? One, artifacts. What was important in the lives of the people? What were so important that they left them behind? Just saw recently in the excavation of Pompeii that this whole wall was done in a mural with amazing ancient tiles, and how beautiful it was. And the images on the wall gave us a great understanding of how this group of people thought about that place. So artifacts. So you go into a business. Isn't what branding is about? What's your artifact? How do you recognize this? If you'd ever invite me to supper at your house, I would come into your house. You would welcome me in. You'd say, Tom, would you like a beverage? And I would say, well, most certainly. You go into the kitchen and you get me a beverage. I'd be sitting in your living room. And as I'm sitting in your living room, what am I doing? I'm looking at all the things that you hung in the walls. Why? Because it's a revelation of what you believe. Isn't it interesting? You go into anybody's home. You go into anybody's office. All the artifacts that are there that give us an understanding, this is what's important in the lives of these people. What is it that archaeologists and anthropologists look for? They look for the stories. What are the stories they tell? Who are the people that they recognize? Oftentimes it's the hero or the elder. Oftentimes it's someone who's been given a tremendous talent, or most importantly, those people who are willing to sacrifice and give their lives to the rest of the nation. We do that in our own country when we get to recognize men and women who have gone into battle and given extraordinary service to save the lives of the people that they serve with. And we recognize that this is given out in the White House, in the highest office in the land. We recognize people who give self-sacrifice. Why? We ritualize what is important in our lives, and we celebrate the lives of the people who make sacrifices. So in every culture, they tell the story of the hero. People have endured a great difficulty and challenge only to come out on the other side. And then what we look at in every culture is how do they celebrate their rituals. How do they celebrate marriages? How do they celebrate funerals? We recognize in highly developed cultures that they're very careful as to how they treat the dead. A great deal of reverence. And what happens is that ritual teaches us reverence. We watch how they participated in the meals. Today, as we talk, the Jewish people across the world are celebrating Passover. And as they sit down for Passover, they have the Seder meal, a meal that retells the story of the Exodus. Well, it's in every culture, in every religion. How is it that we eat together? How is it that we celebrate together? How is it that we recreate the memories that hold us together as a people? Well, this is very important in all of our lives. And this last weekend, in one of my classes on ritual and celebration, I have my students demonstrate this for us. One of the women in my class is a survivor of homicide. She said, when my parents died, you know, you have experience of grief and death. And I can remember early on when my grandparents had died. And so when my niece was killed, I thought, well, I would miss her terribly because she said I had taken care of her when she was a small little girl. But what happens is that when evil permeates the lives of someone, it becomes part of us in a way that's very destructive. And so she found herself in an emergency room with panic attacks and then found herself referred to a homicide support group. And here she is in a support group that does not want any new members. All of these people are victims of homicide. A member of their family was killed in a very tragic and evil way. And so she was in this group, and then COVID came, and now they go online, and they're trying to comfort each other on Zoom. And the woman found herself increasingly becoming anxious that she was talking about the death of her niece, but it wasn't moving. And then she realized she had to do something differently. Well, imaginatively, she came that her niece had these vibrant colors. And what she did, she took the three colors of her niece in paints. And she created a tapestry on a canvas, surrounded the canvas with masking tape. Put the three vibrant colors of our niece on the canvas, and then just began to move the canvas around until an image, an abstract image of where the colors blend together, and she found the vibrancy of the color really being consoling and comforting. She came to the understanding and the research that just like music has vibrancy and different tones, so does color. And she found that color to be quite comforting. Well, that night she decided that she would try it again to see if this is just a one-off or is this something that could be helpful maybe to herself and to others. And so the next day she repeated the same pattern, but this time she added classical music. So while listening to classical music, while getting yourself centered, she takes three of her niece's favorite colors, puts it on the canvas, and again allows an image to emerge in this process of creating. She shows the video to other members of our group online, and all of them said, "Would you do one for me?" So she gets a chance to meet with each of these people at a coffee shop meeting outside. It's during COVID, asking about the person that they're grieving and what their favorite colors are. Well, it was amazing. She starts making these canvases for each of her members of her group, each of them grieving the loss of someone they love. And as they saw the colors emerge on the canvas, strangely, they began to feel comforted. They began to feel a sense of peace. This is someone I loved. And I can remember them not only for the way in which they died, I can remember them for the way in which they lived, the color that they brought to their lives. And so she did this for each member of their group. And what happened? Other people began to tell other people, and she found herself reaching out to people who had lost people. How do you grieve? We oftentimes talk about in servant leadership, the process of healing. Well, you can't talk about healing. You have to have a healing ritual. And of course, in every culture, there are ways in which there are healing rituals, how people are allowed to grieve and get past loss. Well, she did this in our class on Saturday. Here's a group of people from ages 23 to 73 in a room with canvas and paints. And each of us were able to create an image of someone that we had lost, someone that we loved, someone that we wanted to honor. Last year, we did this in class, and shortly after the class, on a very tragic way, one of our members took their own life. All of us were devastated. We had no idea. This person was so vibrant and so alive. The parents asked me to be an honorary pallbearer because it was one of my students. And they wanted us to talk about suicide because they were very worried about the lives of very young people and they wanted their child's life to count for something. We went to his funeral and he had been in our class where we had done this ritual. And there on the table of all his remembrances with his diploma and a jersey was a picture that he had created in class. And what we saw in the picture is that in the middle was a bright color that just kind of resounded. It just kind of jumped out at you, an orange, and then there was some pink in there. But the outside of it was dark colors. And what happened is that all of us saw the light in this young person's life, but did not recognize the amount of darkness. Rituals reveal who we are, how we celebrate. Have you ever been to a military funeral? And when the casket is pushed out of the church, it is draped in an American flag. And outside the church, two soldiers who probably at 17 or 18 learned how to fold a flag correctly. These soldiers oftentimes are now in their 70s or 80s and very carefully pick their flag up by the corners and in measured steps fold the flag in a perfect triangle, walking towards each other, tucking the corners underneath, walking over to the family, handing the flag on to the family members, stepping back 3 steps, and then giving a salute, reverently honoring the life of one who was willing to serve our country. And then oftentimes followed by a 7-gun salute, and then one of these older soldiers, in a move that's more practiced than anything else, bends over and picks up the casings and carries the casings in a small bag over to one of the children of the deceased soldier. This is the way in which we ritualize those who serve. Ritualize those we love. Remember them in the very act of celebration and reverence. Another one of our activities, a woman brought in flowers for each of us. She got small vases from Amazon. I said, "Where'd you get all those small vases?" "Well, we can just order them on Amazon." So there we were, a group of 15 people, sitting around our tables, learning how to arrange flowers. She played some of her favorite music. And then after we arranged these small flowers, gave us each a card with wildflowers for us to write in the card to someone that we love how much their love and support means to us. She had done the research that if you have fresh flowers in your room and you're looking at them and smelling them and touching them, it has a positive emotional impact on our lives. We were created for beauty. How important it is to create beauty and then to share it with other people. When you write a card and you think about the goodness of another people and what they've given you, if you write it out rather than an email, it has a positive effect. Why? Because there's positive energy that flows between hand and brain. It's a ritual activity of telling other people how much we care. And finally, a woman who works in a company that's very transactional, how do you get business done? And she realized that this group of people were competent and technologically very skilled at what they did, but they didn't know how to talk to each other. So she said, how is it that I can get people to engage with each other on an emotional level? So she asked each of them their favorite song. She put it on a playlist, would then play the song, and then ask people to explain why this song was so important to them. Well, isn't it interesting? Our favorite music reveals something about ourselves, reveals something about what is it that we care about. Music is an expression of the soul. What happens in every ritual situation? Isn't music a part of it? Think about concerts. Think about games that we watch on television that begin with the Star Spangled Banner or the seventh inning, getting up and singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And you begin to recognize the ritual music that we use begins to be an expression not only of ourselves, but the celebration of a community come together. Rituals, if you understand them, you will enrich them. In this way, the habits of a lifetime become sacred. Is this so? So this week, take time. Pay attention to the rituals in your life. Take time to celebrate. Take time to recognize what is most significant in your life and be grateful.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archive podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to PDPW's free website at pdpw.org. Until next time, have a safe and productive week.